Good morning, everybody. Now, since I assume that you've all done the homework that that I gave you, so I don't think that it's really necessary for me to give you the quiz that was prepared. You know what I think is so beautiful about all of this? Even in adulthood, we retain a little bit of our youthful childishness, and that adds so much excitement to all of life. If you'd only know how guilty the whole bunch of you look.
You did it.
They have a name for somebody like you who did the homework. The goody-goody one. Why don't I have an apple over here? Huh? Some of you did it. Very good. I'm sure that some of you did it. The homework was chapters 36, 37, 38, and 39. For all intents and purposes, those are the only four chapters in Yeshayahu that are nearly purely history. A story of a number of the major events. A number of the major events in the life of Klal Yisrael that took place in during Yeshayahu's reign as Navi. There are other parts of Yeshayahu that will sort of allude to certain moments in history, but the four chapters that deal with this, I think, four chapters.
How do you account for the fact that the two accounts practically the same word, and
now, the next thing I was going to say is, the stories over here appear not only here in Yeshayahu, they appear in two other places. They appear in Melachim Bet and in Divrei Hayamim Bet. And in each one of the three places, there is emphasis on different things are emphasized. I will, in Yirtzeh Hashem, point that out, because the approach of the Malbim is going to be, why are certain things mentioned in Malachim, others in Divrei Hayamim, not mentioned here, but that will come at the next stage, or probably next week's shiur. But first, what are these four chapters doing here, plunked down someplace in the middle of Yeshayahu? For that matter, there are 35 chapters before, and there are going to be another 26 chapters afterwards. So we will see that the most basic reason is the following. The most significant event of the historic period of Yeshayahu was the destruction, the absolute destruction of Assyria. Assyria. A-double-S-Y-R-I-A, Assyria was the main power. And Sanherib, king of Ashur, was the king of that mighty power. The king who preceded him is the one who, in fact, and together with Sanherib, sent the 10 tribes of Israel into exile. We're talking about the ones who created more suffering and more destruction than anybody else. And finally, after Sanherib has conquered all of Israel and all of Judea, that means the 10 tribes are already off in exile, Judea has now fallen city by city, and he is standing at the gates of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is ready to fall into his hands, and comes the miraculous salvation, down swoops the angel of death, down swoops the angel of death, and destroys the might of Sanherib. He flees back home. We're talking about a seminal event in Jewish history, one that is reiterated time and time again. We speak about it in the Zvirus on Shabbos. We talk about it in the Haggadah, by Yehiba Hatzi'alayim, in the middle of the night. Down comes destruction upon Sanherib, and Yerushalayim is saved. All right. Now, there are many prophecies in Yeshayahu where he talks, number one, about the fact that Ashur, Assyria, is going to come against Israel. Yeshayahu is going to describe the Ashur Shevet Api. Ashur is the staff of my anger. Ashur is used by God to bring punishment upon the Jewish people. But Ashur, of course, doesn't do it because God sends him, even though he's going to say so. But ultimately, the destruction of Ashur, therefore, is the great victory of his time. Yeshayahu speaks a great deal about the coming of Ashur, and then ultimately the destruction of Ashur. But we will see, and this is extremely significant in Yeshayahu, and for that matter, all prophecies. A prophecy is not set only for its own time. When Yeshayahu talks about Ashur, he means not only Ashur, he means the ultimate destruction of all the enemies of Israel. Ashur is the model that is being used by Yeshayahu. If Yeshayahu's prophecies would only have been about that event, it would not have become part of the Kitvei HaKodesh, the Holy Writings. Okay, great, great event in history. Okay, finished. The event took place 2,500 years ago. It's just that whatever he says about Ashur, since the fact is that Ashur was not totally destroyed, it means therefore that Yeshayahu is speaking on a number of levels. He is speaking to the people of his time, and he's speaking to the people of all time. Humidaber l'sha'ato u'la'atid lavo. He is speaking about his time, but it is to be understood not only as a local or a regional prophecy limited only to that time, but there are great ramifications to the prophecy of Ashur. So therefore, knowing what happens in these four chapters will help us understand many of the psukim in the first half of Yeshayahu, and many of the psukim we're right now involved in the second half of Yeshayahu. In other words, we have to understand that he has something in mind that is very significant to the people he's speaking to, but he has something even more significant in mind that is talking to the people today and for all time. Any prophecy that was not necessary for generations was not written. This is what the Gemara says. A prophecy that was limited to a specific moment in history was not written for all time and did not become part of the Holy Writings. Yes. Huh? Which Gemara? The head is not working yet. I'll get you tomorrow. Nevuah shenechtevah. I know the exact words. Nevuah shehutz v'chol ha'dorot nechtevah. V'shelo hutz v'chol ha'dorot lo nechtevah. Well, one of two things. I will either try and look up a number of Gemaras myself to see precisely where it's written, and then I can cheat. I can ask my wife to scan the Bar Ilan. Right? And it's amazing. You will be benefiting from it, I think, next week or 2 weeks from now. it occurred to me, one of the shiurim that I'm preparing is, and it's going to become important in this chapter, and the next chapter, for that matter, it's going to be fascinating throughout all of Yeshayahu. What is the meaning of the description of God as Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel? And on the other hand, very often, God is referred to as Hashem Tzarkot, the God of hosts. So I gave instructions to the associate dean, get it out of the computer. And it's amazing, for the first time in my life, the computer started printing out in full every pasuk in Yeshayahu that has Kedosh Yisrael, with the word Kedosh Yisrael underlined just for me, and every pasuk in Yeshayahu with the name Hashem Tzarkot comes out underlined for me, and with the Xerox machine that we have, you're going to have a copy of all of this as well, and then we're going to study some 40, 50 psukim in Yeshayahu, and then we're going to see clearly the definition of Kedosh Yisrael and Hashem Tzarkos, and it's a fascinating thing. But now we're starting with chapter 36. I gave a shiur on Kedosh Yisrael and Hashem Tzarkos about 5 years ago in a Haftorah. And I'm not upset, sorry, that you remember. I'm thrilled. But then it was within the context of one Haftarah. I'm going to put it in the context of all of Sefer Yeshayahu. It's really a study of all of Yeshayahu. Yeah? Ashura is really, yes, the north. In other words, yes, Syria. Syria, northern Syria. I think on this side of the Tigris and the Euphrates. The other side of the Tigris and the Euphrates was Badr. We've always been having problems with Ashura. Now, of course, if Chizkiyahu would have been smart, he just would have given the Golan to Ashur, and that would have solved it all. Except, of course, for the fact that Ashur had already taken not only the whole Golan, he had taken all of Eretz Yisrael, and the only thing that was left was Yerushalayim that he hadn't taken. And that he was not going to get. And we're going to see why. We're going to get my... miracle of miracles. Let's begin to do the homework. We'll do it together. And it came to pass in the 14th year of Melech Chizkiyahu, 14th year of King Chizkiyahu, all of Sancheret Melech Asher al kol orei Yehuda habitzurot vayit pesein. Sancheret, the king of Asher, came up against all of the cities of Yehuda, the fortified ones, vayit pesein, and he grabbed them. He took them. We will see in the course of these few chapters, there will be two chapters, or one chapter that's going to deal with the illness of Chizkiyahu is going to take ill. He's going to pray, and he's going to be granted another 15 years of life. 14 and 15 gives us, therefore, the 29 years that Chizkiyahu was king of Yehuda. So the king of Ashur, Sancheret, has captured all of the fortified cities of Yehuda. Remember, the 10 tribes, 80% of Israel, have already been exiled from the land. We're talking now about there's only one last ripe plum waiting for him to pick it, and that's Yerushalayim. Vayishlach Melech Ashur et Rav Shakei Milachish Yerushalayim. The king of Ashur sent Rav Shakei, it's the name of a person. By the way, many of the Mepharshim say Rav Shakei is not a name, but a title. And the title, later on in Bereshis, we're going to come to the butler of Paro, the one who gives him to drink. He was called the Rav Shakei. The Targum Onkel says he was the master of Shakei, the one who gives to drink. But it was a title of importance. Rav Shakei, the king of Asher, sent him from Lachish. He was doing battle in Lachish. Lachish is precisely where Lachish is today. Where is it? Is it 14 kilometers southwest of Bet Guvrin? We know where all of that is. He was at war in Lachish, and he sends Rav Shakei with a message to Yerushalayim. El HaMelech Chizkiyahu, B'cheil Kaved Ma'od. Now, we're talking, he's being sent, he's bringing a message, but he brings a message accompanied by a mighty force of soldiers. V'yamod, and he stood b'to'olat ha'brecho ha'elyono b'mesilat zdei koves. And he stood outside of Yerushalayim, b'to'olat is a canal, ha'brecho ha'elyono, the upper pool. It's someplace near the Shiloach. Near the path of Sdei Koves, the field where people would do their laundry. They would wash laundry and hang it out over there. So we're talking about someplace outside of Yerushalayim. He stops there, and he is stopped there. Vayetze Elov Eliyakim ben Chukio Asher al Abayit. Three people go out to speak with him, or to listen to him. Eliyakim ben Chilkiyahu, who is in charge of the house of the king, Shevna HaSofer, we're going to talk about Shevna in a little while, Shevna the scribe, and by scribe we don't mean somebody who is a stenographer. A scribe represented the one who was in charge of the archives of the kingdom. V'yoach ben Asaf HaMazkir, And Yoav ben Asaph, who is the secretary, and he also not secretary as we would understand it in terms of Stam secretary, but like, you know, secretary of state, secretary of the defense, three of the top people. We're going to talk about Shevna HaSofer in a little while. Vayomer aleim Rav Shakei. Rav Shakei said to them, Imru Noel Cheskiyo, please say to Cheskiyo. And by the way, he doesn't, of course, he doesn't refer to Cheskiyo as HaMelech Cheskiyo. One of the things that bothers me that I'm not going to talk about now because I still don't have the answer to it. It's something that has bothered me for a very, very long time, and it bothers me more today than it ever did. Rav Shakei, according to many of the Mefarshim, and according to the Gemara, was Yehudi Mumar. He was a Jew. Our worst enemies turn out to be from amongst our own, and I don't understand the psychology of it. I have all sorts of answers. Ad hayom hazeh. Ad hayom hazeh. Our Jews are going to be the first ones to say that a house is being built someplace in Yehuda B'Shem. I don't understand. Our worst enemies, like from my enemies, I don't have to worry about, but from my Jews who are my enemies, so they b'shtavah people. It's unbelievable. The assault on Eretz Yisrael and on Torah and on Yiddishkeit and everything that's holy to us is infinitely greater, more painful and more poisonous coming from our own people. I don't understand. I'm working on, I'm telling you, I'm working on attempting to understand the Rav Shakeis of all time. Something you read over there that...
No, they're referring to Sanhedrin 68.
Yeah, sure. The Talmud in Sanhedrin, the Talmud is going to talk about Shevna. We're not done with Shevna yet. But that's on our side. Who was Shevna? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But Rav Shakei, you know, what's the psychology of what? What turns a person? Early this morning, I was going through all sorts of sources on the apostasy of Jews. What it is that causes it, and what creates this great hatred. I don't have the answer yet, but believe me, when I have the answer, you'll be the first to hear. You have the answer, okay? Leah has the answer. Go ahead, Leah. I have three tape recorders taking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Go ahead, Leah. Yeah?
The answer is that these Jews who turn away from Yiddishkeit have a great guilt. And the guilt manifests itself in self-hatred and hatred of
them. Of course she's not wrong. Why is she not wrong? Because Sagyagon lists eight causes of Jewish apostasy, and that's one of them. So you can't say you have the answer, you have an eighth of an answer. An eighth of an answer. Okay, let's just put it in its proper, let's put it in its proper
place.
But we're going to talk about it. That's, all right, copy on. Vayomer aleim Rav Shakei, Rav Shakei said, Imru na al Chizkiyo, please say to Chizkiyo. I like this Imru na. And on the one hand, he's the model of politeness.
Diplomacy.
No, politeness, you know, humanist, good man, but he does not refer to Chizkiyo as king. Ko'amar ha-melech ha-gadol melech Asher. Now you understand how he refers to the king of Asher, so says the great king, the king of Asher. Ma'ha bitachon az Asher b'tachta, what is this trust that you have trusted? The prakim, the chapters here in Yeshayahu may very well be talking, they are talking about a period in time where Yeshayahu had rebelled against Ashur. That means there was a period of time that he was paying tribute, and there was sort of an uneasy arrangement. And then Yeshayahu simply decided, Chizkiyahu decided, no more. And therefore now Sancheriv is coming to tell him, you've made a tragic mistake. In whom are you trusting? Who are you trusting? You're going ahead and you're rebelling against the great king, the king of Asher. Almighty, I thought to myself, you know, this is just lip service, it's talk. He doesn't really mean, you don't really mean to rebel against the king of Asher. And then I thought maybe there's counsel and there's strength that maybe you're ready to go to war. In other words, there are a number of options over here. You have not followed the instructions of the king of Asher. You've broken the agreement with him. Now it could be just... lost to me. It could be very well that you are taking counsel and getting strong for war. So now if it's war, upon whom did you trust that you rebelled against me? I mean, how many divisions does Chizkiyahu really have? Is it possible that you placed your trust on Egypt? This is a great passage. You placed your trust on Mishenet, Hakaneh, Haratzutz, Hazeh, Amitzchayim. Imagine a stick that's broken. Now, if a stick that's broken has all sorts of sharp edges sticking out, and splinters. And now, somebody can't walk, so on what does he lean? He leans on this tzebrachana stick. That's good, all right? And what happens when you're trying to really lean on it? It goes through your hand. That's what Mitzrayim is. You can't trust, you can't place your faith in Mitzrayim, you can't. Hinei gatachta al mishenet. A mishenet is a...
Something you lean on.
Shivtecha u'mish'amtecha heimo yinachamuni. Mishenet hakaneh. Kaneh is a reed. Yes, a reed. Haratzutz hazeh that's broken al Mitzrayim. Asher yisameich ishalav. If a person leans on him, u'bot bekapo, it will come into his hand. U'nekavah and make a hole in it. So is Paro the king of Egypt to all who place their trust in him. The Chitomar Eli, there's one other possibility. The Chitomar Eli, and then you say to me, El Hashem Elokeinu Batachnu, he wouldn't have said it that way, of course. I'm saying it that way. On God, our God, you place your trust? Hello, who Hashem Hesir Chizkiyahu et Balotav et Mizbechotav? He's the one that Chizkiyahu removed. You know what? It isn't Hashem Elokeinu. It's Adonai Eloheinu. Because he's referring to the idols. Chizkiyahu had cleansed Eretz Yisrael of idolatry. He removed all of the high places and all of the altars that had been used for idol worship. So what do you tell me? You trust in God? Chizkiyahu is not on God's side. Chizkiyahu is the one that has removed all of the... Bamotavi removed his high places that Mizbechotav and his altar by Yom Yehuda Yerushalayim, and he said to Yehuda Yerushalayim, Mizmeh HaMizbech HaZeh Tishtachavu. This fellow Chizkiyahu came along and said, before this altar that's on Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, only here shall you bow down. All of the rest of them are nothing. So you don't even have God on your side. V'atohit Areidna. Now let's make a bet. Et Adoni HaMelech HaShor, make a bet with my master, the king of Asher. Ve'etna l'cha alpayim susim, I'll give you 2,000 horses in Tuchalotet l'chad rochvim aleim. Let's see if you're able to find 2,000 riders for the 2,000 horses. Yerushalayim is at the very end of its rope. Yerushalayim is a city besieged there. Now, all the strength, all the fortified cities have been taken. We're talking most probably about one of the darkest moments in Jewish history, because here we're talking about an entire Jewish people that has already fallen under the heel of the enemy, and there's only one last outpost. We're not talking about Jews who are now spread out all over the world. So listen, Sophia, if there's a problem in Jerusalem, so the Jews of America will survive, the Jews of France will survive. This is it. This is the last Jewish community in the world that has not been overrun by the enemy. You can't even turn away, meaning wage war with one of the smallest governors or officers of my master. Not a matter of, course you can't fight Sanherib. You can't fight anybody who serves under Sanherib. The smallest functionary is able to take this city and destroy it. But Tiftach Lechal Mitzchayim, so you went ahead and you placed your trust in Mitzchayim, Lerechev Ulefarashim, for riders and for chariots and for riders. And then he says, you see, this is always the, what is it, the last, no, not last straw, the last resort. I'm still thinking of something else, of the knave. You know what he says? What are you talking about? I'm here because I'm carrying out God's word. Understand? It's amazing. Everybody can quote God. Everybody can quote God. If not for God, do you think I would come up against this land to destroy it? Hashem Amar Eloi, God said to me, Alei El Haaretz Hazot V'Hashchita, go up against that land and destroy her. And the fact is that we may see that there are many prophecies in Yeshayahu with, as I said earlier, I quoted the pasuk, Ashur Shebet Api, Ashur is the staff of my anger. And by the way, there is a great deal of discussion amongst the Mefarshim and other places, like, well, why is Mitzrayim destroyed? Didn't God say that Jews would be strangers in a land that's not theirs, and they would be tortured there? Paro Melech Mitzrayim should have turned to God and said, "What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I'm carrying out your mandate." I mean, this in and of itself can be a shiur, but I'm not going to go off onto that. Many of the Mefarshim say, yeah, but that's not what your intention was. You didn't do it, you didn't go to the mikveh first and say, hinini muhan and mezuman, here I am ready and prepared to do God's bidding and kill Jews. You did it because of your hatred of Jews. And more than that, you inflicted on them the kind of suffering that God could never have imagined. All right, so here he is. He says, "Chizkiyo, I get my names. Chizkiyo is the king of Israel. Chizkiyo, you have nobody to depend on. There's nobody to trust. You can't trust Mitzrayim. You can't trust the deities that you destroyed. And you tell me, God, the God. Those of you who believe in God in heaven, He's the one who sent me here. I'm doing His work." Eliyakim Shevna Yarach said to Rav Shakei, "Daber no al avodecha aramit. Please talk to your servants Aramaic. Ki show me anachnu, because we understand that language. Baut daber eleinu Yehudit. Don't speak to us in Yehudit, which is Hebrew. Baznei ha'am asher alachoma, in the ears of the people that are on the walls." The people, you know, there were soldiers all along the walls. They could hear what's going on over there. Speak to us Aramaic. Aramaic was originally the sort of the international language of diplomacy. The men in the street, certainly at that time, Jews are not going to learn Aramaic until they will ultimately go into exile. That's going to be 150 years later, 200 years later. Aramaic was then the language of the elite. I hate that word. That's what it is, the elite. So don't speak in Yehudit. By the way, I imagine that may be one of the reasons why we assume that he was a No, he wasn't the Italian in the Bronx that worked in the neighborhood, and therefore he learned Yiddish. This is the Jewish boy from Yerushalayim, Rav Shakei, who speaks in Ivrit because that's what he was raised in Cheder, and now he has sided with the enemy. So they ask, please don't talk to us in Hebrew, talk to us in Aramaic, so that the people on the wall shouldn't hear. Vayomer Rav Shakei, so Rav Shakei said, Ha'al Adonecha V'Elecha Shulachani Adoni? Is it to your master and to you that my master sent me? L'taber et hadvarim ha'el, to say these things? You know who has to hear it? The people on the walls have to hear it. Halo al ha'noshem ha'yoshu al-achoma, those people who are there, sitting on the walls. L'echol, unreal pasuk, one of the few in Tanakh. There are words that we don't say, but we have substitute words for them. The words themselves are so ugly that we don't use those words. I would imagine the ugliness of these words is because, well, maybe Rav Shakei has already passed the stage of being not just a plain knave and a Benedict Arnold. He's also got a foul mouth. And therefore, the way we read it is the way it is understood. Le'echol et soatan. They're going to have to end up eating their stool. v'lishtot et meimei ragleihim, they're going to have to drink their urine. They're the ones that are going to be suffer because of the Yerushalayim that's going to be in siege. In Lachem, the ones who are with you, I want them to hear. Vayamod Rav Shakei Vayikro Bekol Gadol Yehuditen. Rav Shakei stood there and he called out in a loud voice in Hebrew, Vayamod Shimu et Divrei HaMelech HaGadol Melech Asher. Listen to the words of the great king, the king of Asher. Kol Omar HaMelech. You understand what he's doing here? He is using prophetic style in order to pass on the words of Sancheret. A Navi would say, Ko Omar Hashem Tzvakot. Ko Omar. So says HaMelech, Al Yashilachem Chizkiyahu. Let not Chizkiyahu seduce you. Where do we have this word, or similar word? That's right, in Bereshis with the Nachash. Chava says, HaNachash Hishiani. It is the Nachash who talked me into doing this. So he says, don't be convinced, don't let Chizkiyahu convince you, Ki lo yuchal hatzilechem, because he can't save you. Let not Chizkiyahu tell you have trust in God, so saying, God is going to save us. And God is going to say, Lo tinatein ha'ir hazot biyad melech Ashur, this city will not be given into the hands of the king of Ashur. By the way, those are precisely the words that God is going to say. V'ganoti, we're going to see, V'ganoti al ha'ir hazot, I'm going to protect this city. Lo tinatein ha'ir hazot biyad melech Asher. This city is not going to be given into the hands of the king of Asher. There's the, I was going to call it poetic justice, but it's also prophetic justice. Exactly what Rav Shakei says. God will not say, God will say. Al tishmu el Chizkiyahu, don't listen to Chizkiyahu. Ki cho amar ha'melech Asher, so says the king of Asher. Asu iti bracha utzu'u elai. Make with me blessing. And the word bracha really has a lot of meanings. It can of course mean the word bless. Let's bless one another. Let's make peace. The peace of the brave, you know. The peace of the brave. You have the courage to make peace, you know. Any schnook can go ahead and make war, but to make peace. Utsu elai, come out to me. And then you know what? There's going to be a new Middle East after you make peace with me. The ichlu ish gafno, each person is going to eat from his vine. The ish tainato, each person his fig. Ushatu ish mei boro, and everybody is going to drink from the waters of their own well. I'll tell you, the fact is that one studies Rav Shakei, he has used every possible means, convincing, cajoling, frightening, threatening, everything. So I'm afraid to say it's a Yiddish cup that speaks from this fellow Rav Shakei. Until I come and I will take you to a land like your land, and this we're going to talk about in a moment, really in a moment. Eretz Dagon V'Tidosh, Eretz Lechem Ukranim, I'm going to take you to a land of grain and wine, a place of bread and vineyards. Penya sitechem. In other words, so you know, the psychology now, he has calmed them down and said, you know, we're taking you away for resettlement in the East.
Yeah.
We're taking you away for resettlement. That was, in fact, the policy of the kings of Ashur. They moved populations, because they assume that a person who's on his land is going to remain strong. There's something about your own land that makes you strong. Unfortunately, there's something about your own land that sometimes can make you very weak. I was saying this morning, and I just want to put it so I'll remember when this shiur was said. Of all things, I wasn't feeling that great this morning. I didn't go to shul. First time, I think, in my life, I heard the 7 o'clock news that they are removing, they're removing the people from my own. So I ran to my TV and I put on the TV the first time, I put it on the news in the morning, and I saw Israeli soldiers removing forcibly Tayre Eden, young men, young women, from our land. It's a black day, in Jewish history. It's a black day. Despite the fact, yeah, I know, I'm the extremist, Moetzet Yesh, I agree to it. Yeah, okay, I don't know. Ma'on. I asked my people in the car, where is Ma'on mentioned in Tanakh? Ma'on appears, in fact, appears a number of places. Naval HaKarmeli and Abigail came from Ma'on, Drom Har Chevron. What are you talking about? Ma'on appears in Tanakh. Anyway, he resettles people in the East. I'm going to take you El Eretz Karetzachem, Eretz Dagon, the Tidosh, Eretz Lechem Chromi. Ten Yasit et Chem Chizkiyo Lemor, lest Chizkiyo will incite you. now we're really up to date. Understand? When we're talking about Hasatah, I love that word. Anything is Hasatah. Ten Yasit et Chem Chizkiyo Lemor, Hashem Yasilem, you understand? To say that God is going to save us, or maybe a psak halacha of Chizkiyo, or God forbid, Rabbanim, that's Hasatah. That is Hasatah. Can't incitement. Lest Chizkiyo incite you, saying, now there were two words that were used here. There was the word in Pasuk 14, he said, Ko amar ha-melech, al yashi lachem Chizkiyo. Yashi always means to convince, just as the Nachash convinced. There is no element of violence in the word yashi, but in the word yasit already, that's violence. And do you know what the violence is? Isn't it amazing? The Eivishter, the Bashefer. God is going to save us. That's violent talk. Well, I never thought Yeshayahu was so right-wing or so up-to-date or so... It's amazing. Thanks for coming. I have somebody to read the psukim to. I see them in a different light. In the correct light. Incite you saying, Hashem Yatzalayim, God is going to help us. Have the gods of other nations saved each man's land from the hands of the king of Asher? Where is the God of Kamas V'Arpad? Aye, Melech Kamas V'Arpad. Ayala High Spar Boyim, these are names of places. Where are those deities? Where are those deities? Shomron the Adi. And when I took Shomron, the entire area of the ten tribes, who, which god, which deity stood up against the king of Asher? Me the Khalala, who from amongst all the gods of these lands, Ashahitzilu with Archabiyati, saved their land from my hand. Kiyatsu, Hashem et Yerushalayim Yadi. You think that God is going to save Yerushalayim from my hand? It took tremendous strength of Vayacharishu. They remained silent. I don't know if we had mentioned this once. There's a difference between shtika, remaining silent, and lahacharish. Leman tzion, lo eshkod, lo echesheh, lahacharish or lahachashot always means, in other words, shtika, silence means, no, silence is gold. You don't say anything. But what happens if something is said or something happens that your own neshama wants to burst forth? And it takes a tremendous sense of self-control not to say what's on your mind. That's when you say, where, what was the prophet? Esther. Who knows if next year he got Lamalchut? In other words, there's a situation that Mordechai is describing to Esther that demands that she speak out. She cannot remain silent. Vayacharishu. And you see, here, this is one of the psukim that proves that that's the meaning of the word Vayacharishu. V'lo onu oto davar. They didn't answer anything. King mitzvah hamelech leimor, it was the command of the king saying, lo tamu, don't answer. Chizkiyo had sent them out there and told them, listen to what he has to say, don't respond. for any response. And by the way, this is good policy as well. You'll bring back the message, and we're going to deal with it, and then we will give a considered response. He will not force us into a position of giving a hasty response that we may regret. Take it easy. There doesn't have to be an instant response. Vayavor Eliyakim ben Chilkiyo, Hashem al Abayit, Eliyakim, the son of Chilkiyo, who was in charge of the house, Vishem ben Asofa, Vyav ben Asa Hamaskiyo, Chizkiyo, they came to Chizkiyo, Kiru Eivigadim, their garments torn. Vayakidulo Divrei Rav Shokei, and they told him the words of Rav Shokei. Why did they come with their garments torn? Because the halacha is, when you hear the name of God being blasphemed, you tear kriya. It's a death in the family. He had listened to what he had said about God. God can't save them. He compared God with the gods of Hamas and Sfarvayim and Shamram. This is blasphemy. Blasphemy, the halacha is that you're supposed to tell your garments. Should have done this before. All right. Yeah. One. Pass the rest around. I'm taking one too. So first of all, we've learned the chapter. On the sheet that you're going to get, there are four parts to this sheet. Just look at it carefully and I'll tell you exactly what it's about. Three of them, the top three, are Tosafot. You know, on a page of Gemara, there's the text of the Gemara, and on the two sides of the text of the Gemara, on one side is the Rashi and the other side is the Tosafot. The Ketubot, the Yuma and the Shabbos are all Tosafot. We'll do that second. I want to do the Gemara in Sanhedrin first. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is down here. Let's read the Gemara. And we once learned this part of this Gemara a few years ago in a different year. Most of you have it. L'chein shalach ha'adon Hashem tzakot b'mishmanav razon. This is a pasuk earlier in Yeshayahu, someplace around chapter 8 and 9. Chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11 all deal with the invasion of Ashur, Sancheret, and his ultimate destruction. Lachain, therefore, Yishlach Adon Hashem Tzarkot, God, the God of hosts, is going to send B'nishmanav in his fat ones, Razon, thinness. Is there a word like thin kite? No, it's my b'mishmanav razon. The Gemara asks, what does it mean, b'mishmanav razon? And the idea of the pasuk, of course, is, you know, this one who looks strong and mighty is going to turn out to be very fragile and weak. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Chizkiyo, let Chizkiyo come, Sheshlo Shmona Shemot. Chizkiyo has eight names. The Parami Sancherev Sheshlo Shmona Shemot, and he is going to bring punishment and destroy Sancherev, who has eight names. Chizkiyo has eight names. This is also a pasuk earlier in Yeshayahu in chapter 9. Kiyelet Yulad Lanu, a child is born unto us. This most probably is one of the famous psukim that we'll have to deal with one of these days. This is a pasuk, of course, that Christianity has always said, you know, the child is born unto us. And this child is going to be Ben Nitan Lanu, a son. The pasuk, anybody knows the pesukim knows, as the Gemara says here, that the pasuk is talking about Chizkiyahu. It's not talking about Yeshu, not Yeshu at all. Especially the context, because the context really is the following: the context is the city of Yerushalayim. You understand, is going to fall. So can you imagine? Do you know what the prophet comes and tells them? Yerushalayim? Don't worry. In 600 years, 700 years, a son is going to be born to us. You have nothing to worry about. I mean, can you really think that that's going to help Yerushalayim? Like, just hanging over there for another 700 years? until Yeshua. The Pasuk is talking about the birth of Chizkiyahu. Ben Nitam Lanu, his son is given to us. Dafia Misrael Shechmo, the office, the task is upon his shoulders. Vayikra Shemo, and his name is called Pele Yoetz El Gibor Avi Am Sar Shalom. Go figure out all the name Pele Yoetz is. He is Pele, he is great, he is miraculous, he's Yoetz, he's an advisor. El, mighty, Gibor, strong. Avi Ad Shalom. You saw all the names, you know what I'm saying? All the names that you would want. So he has all these names, but what is the way for him? He's got Chizkiyo. There's another name that he has, Chizkiyo. So he says Chizkiyo, all of the others were his names. Why was he called Chizkiyo? Chizkiyo was his nickname. Shechizkoka, because God gave him strength. Tavaracha, another pshat, Chizkiyo. Why was he called Chizkiyo? Shechizek et Yisrael la'aviyem shel ha'shamayim. He gave strength to the Jewish people, and he made them strong to their father in heaven. Famous Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Chizkiyo no'atz cherev v'beit ha'medrash. He stuck a knife, a sword, into the Beit HaMedrash, and he said anybody who doesn't study Torah is going to be run through by the sword. Gemara says afterwards, Botku midon ba'ad Be'er Sheva, a study mission was made from Don until Be'er Sheva, below Matsu. They didn't find ish v'isha, men or woman, tinek v'tinokos, male child or female child, shalah yehoyu b'kiyin v'hilchos Tumah v'Tahara. They didn't know the most difficult halachas in Torah, Tumah v'Tahara. So first of all, I want you to understand that in terms of the study of these difficult parts of Torah, both men and women are equally mentioned. Lo ha'yo ish v'isha from Don until Be'er Sheva, tinek v'tinokos, they didn't. Chizkiyo turned Eretz Yisrael into a fortress of Torah. Chizek, he strengthened the Jewish people to their God in heaven. So he has eight names. So he's the one who's going to punish, or the destruction of Sancheret, who has eight names, is going to come through him. Sancheret, because it says about him in different psukim, he's referred to as Tiglat Pileser, Planesa, Shalmanesa, Pul, Sargon, Sargin, Osnapor Rabovi Akira. This is in Sefer Ezra. Osnapor Rabovi Akira. And it seems that each one is a great name. Osnapor Rabovi Akira. Rabo is great. Osnapor is exalted. Yakira is precious. So the Gemara asks, those are eight names. What about his name Sancheret? The name by which he's known. So the Gemara says, Shesichoso Rig. Sancheret means his talk is already battle. He's a militant man. Dalaracher, another thing, Shesok v'nicher dvarim kvatim ala. He said, and he sort of cast words up against God. Here comes the difficult, frightening Gemara that has always shaken me. Amar Rav Yochanan, said Rav Yochanan, if Neymar Zocha Oto Rosha Likroto Osnapo Rabo V'Yakiro, why was that terrible Rosha? Why was he worthy that he should be called by that great name, Osnapo Rabo V'Yakiro? And that appears in Tanakh, you understand, no less a place than Tanakh. Mipnei Shalo Siper Bignuso Shal Eretz Yisrael, because he did not speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. Because in this perek, he does not say, I'm going to take you to a far, far better place than you have ever been. He says, I'm going to take you Eretz Ka'artzachem. Eretz Ka'artzachem. If he wants to convince them to go off to the east, what he should have told them was, I'm going to take you off to a land, you're kidding me, a land that's beautiful, a land with old goods. He doesn't say that. Arboi, until I come to Lakachti, I'm going to take you Eretz Ka'artzachem, Eretz Dagon, V'Tidosh, Lechem. Well, which Pasuk was that?
Yeah.
That was Pasuk. Pasuk 17. Arboi, to Lakachti, Eretz Ka'artzachem, until I come and I'm going to take you to a land like your land. Is this the way you talk people into being resettled in the East? Or do you resettle them in the East by telling you I'm going to take you to a land that is far, far better than the land in which you live? And because he didn't speak, Because if he would have said that I'm going to a better land, that would have been speaking Bikinitash El Eretz Yisrael, because of that schus nisgasha is called the Tanakh Osnapor Rabba B'Yakira. Then the Gemara goes on, Rav Shmuel, Chadama, one said Melech B'Keachaya, one said, by the way, the same Machlokes is in the Gemara Megillah about Achashverosh, was Achashverosh Melech Tipesh or Melech B'Keach? Fool or wise man? Over here, the same Machlokes, one says that he was a smart, and one says that he was Tipesh. Laman the Amar, according to the one who says Melech B'Keachaya, that he was a B'Keach. Because he said, why was he smart? Because he knew that if he's going to tell Jews, I'm going to take you to a land that's better than your land, they would have said to him, you're a liar. If I would tell them, this is better than your land, they would say, come shakrat, you're lying. And according to one who says he was a foolish king, in Cain Maribute. If I'm only taking you to a land that's like your land, so why are you doing all of this? What's the point? Now comes the most painful part of all. Lehechan Aglilahu, where did he exile them? Marzut Rama La Afrika. Marzut says he exiled them to Africa. Rav Hanina says Lahore Slug, to the mountains of Slug. Nobody's very clear about where Slug is, but we assume that it's someplace Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tibet, the place, the Hore Khosha. Oh, now comes the Gemara that has always shaken me, and there's a Rashi. Abu Yisrael, but Jews, Sikru Bignuta Shel Eretz Yisrael, spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael. Kimotu Shosh. I want you to know this Gemara well. When they came to a place, Shosh, they said, Shavyoki Anin, this is just like our land. Kimotu Almin, when they came to a place called Almin, they said, my, this is just like Almin. I'm going to read the Rashi on this in a moment, and it'll shake you. Kimotu Shoshtre, when they came to a place called Shoshtre, they said, Al Chatre, this is twice as good as Eretz Yisrael. You understand what Rav Yochanan has done over here? Rav Yochanan has compared Jews with Hitler. Sancheret doesn't speak, Bignutash al Eretz Yisrael doesn't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, but Jews do speak ill. I want you to take a look at one Rashi. I have tried to make this Rashi known worldwide. I don't know if I have succeeded yet. Avol Yisrael, if you take a look at the top line of the Gemara, you'll just move to the right and you'll see the words in Rashi, Avol Yisrael. Just that little Rashi.
Yeah, but it's very, very hard to be.
Avol. Go to the top line of the Gemara and then move to your right. Avol Yisrael. I'm going to read this Rashi slowly. Could everybody please take a look here? You see the top line in the Gemara? Now move over to the right. It's darker. It's indicated. Avol Yisrael, listen to this Rashi. Avol Yisrael ki aglinu Sancherev, when Sancherev exiled them, Sitru b'gnutash el Eretz Yisrael, when Jews went into exile, they spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael. D'chimotu la'oto makom sheshimo shosh, when they arrived at a place whose name is Shosh, they said, Shavya la'arin, this is just like our land. Zot ha'aretz, Shavya la'artzeinu. Rashi explains, this land is equal to our land. And here comes this is the most difficult part. Ki ukishabo l'makam sheshmo almin, the second thing the Gemara said when they came to a place whose name is Almin, they said, Ki almin, this is just like Almin. Zeh ha'makam shovel Yerushalayim. This place, it's just like Jerusalem. Yerushalayim is referred to as Beit Olamim, the eternal city. When they came to a place, Amen, they said, my, this is just like Yerushalayim. On the basis of this Gemara, I had said this in a shir some years ago, on the basis of this Gemara, I said one day, it cannot be that from Jewish sources the idea of calling Vilna Yerushalayim de Litta, the Yerushalayim of Litta. Or what else? Baltimore, Muncie, Yerushalayim, America, they. I'm going to have to go home and wash my mouth out. Huh? Denver. Yeah, Denver, that was the famous one. One of my sons-in-law sent over a tape to the house. This was some years ago. It was the Pirchei, a record of Pirchei, Denver. Denver, the Yerushalayim of the West, you understand? And I turn purple and green and all sorts of colors. You take innocent little Jewish children, you understand, and teach them that Denver is the Yerushalayim of the West. I think there was a pizza place in New York, Jerusalem 1, Jerusalem 2. And by the way, both of them burned down. That's Churban Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. They moved here? That's all right. So after the second base of Jesus destroyed, there's only one place to go. You come to Eretz Yisrael. There's nobody here that owns Jerusalem. What do we have? Oh, in Harnock we have Brooklyn pizza. That's okay. You're right. Well, Brooklyn and New York, that you have all over the country. I say on the basis of this Rashi, you're not allowed to call any place in the world Yerushalayim. When they came to Almin, the Gemara says, when they came to Almin, they said, this place is like Yerushalayim. And what does the Gemara call that? L'saper b'genutash al Eretz Yisrael, to speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. You can't do that. And therefore, of course, I'm still ready to faint as I was sitting in a shul in Muncie, and the rabbi introduced me. So, you know, here I thought, you know, we all like a little covered every so often. We have a very important guest from Yerushalayim who's visiting Yerushalayim of America. If I could have had a hole to dig, I would have dug a hole and simply disappeared from the face of this earth. In other words, my Gleiset Kuvit comes by the shame of Yerushalayim for the Ebrish Therapy. Fact is, just like there's a halacha, you're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. If I ever make negative comments, it's always within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The moment I leave Eretz Yisrael, it's only good. Only good. And then you have, and I think it has to be brought to the attention of people. You'll find people who either come here for a visitor. This is no good, and that the best I heard was just a few days ago. A few days ago, a young couple from Borough Park. She just can't take the air over here. Don't understand? In Borough Park, you have fresh air that fills your lungs. I mean, that's scraping the bottom of a barrel, honestly, you understand? I go to Borough Park, you understand? I cough my way through a few days in Borough Park until I run back. And then finally, when the cab starts bringing us up toward Yerushalayim, I open up the window and I fill my lungs with the air of Yerushalayim and here of the air of Borough Park. The stench of Borough Park. If you're used to polluted air, right, clean air can kill you. Very good, Leah. That's very good. Beware of clean air. Awesome. The way Chazal, the way our rabbis take a look at a pasuk in Tanakh. Ad boi until I come and I take you el eretz ka'artzichem. He's not going to say I'm going to take you to a land that is better than your land. It's not important to me. Sanhedrin didn't say this because of Avas Eretz Yisrael. No, of course not. But the fact is that our rabbi said because he did not utter something that was an attack on Eretz Yisrael, he's worthy to be called Asnapa Rabo V'Yakira. Yes.
He said that the Yiddish
Rav Shapeh is
saying these words,
but he knows
how to speak to the Jews.
Yeah.
And according to the Gemara, it's Sancheret
who's
talking. He's saying the words, and he's just repeating them in the name
Sancheret. Yeah, but because this is part of the fallacy, and his fallacy was to tell people this. He's quoting here the fallacy of Sancheret. Take a look.
because the words are Agboi. Rav Shakeh is quoting Ko Omar HaMelech. In that pasuk Agboi, look, twice it says Ki Ko Omar HaMelech Asher, pasuk 16. When Sanhedrin, when Rav Shakeh is saying Agboi until I come and take you Eretz Kasechem, who's he talking about? Sanhedrin. Kol Omar HaMelech Asher. So says the great king of the tongue of Ar. He's quoting the king over here. The king did not speak Begnusa Shel Eretz Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael did speak Begnusa Shel Eretz Yisrael. We won't go through it all, but at least I'll tell you what those three Tosafot are about. They are very fascinating, and I think they are of the extreme importance here. There's a chapter earlier, we're not going to look at it now. Yes, Hashem, next week we'll have time to look at it. There's a chapter earlier that talks about a fellow called Shevna. And the Navi says to Shevna, I believe it's chapter 22, the Navi says to Shevna, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You prepared a burial plot here around Yerushalayim? You kidding me? You're going to be buried here? You have no place over here. And the Gemara tells us a frightening story about Shevna. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu earlier where God tells Yeshayahu, Lo tomrun kesher. Don't say that, or don't be concerned about the kesher, the conspiracy. Gemara says, I wanted to Xerox it for you, but the cup is not the, we'll have it for you. The exact words of the Gemara. Gemara says that Cheskiah was terribly afraid, he was worried, because there were two groups in the city. There was Chizkiyah v'Siyato. The city is now surrounded by Sancheret. There were two groups in the city. One group was Chizkiyah v'Siyato, Chizkiyah and his following, the Siyah. You know, you have a Siyah in the Knesset. Chizkiyah v'Siyato said that they are not going to surrender the city to Sancheret. We're going to fight to the very end. Shevna v'Siyato, Shevna and his group said, we're going to make peace. We're going to give the city over into the hands of Sancheret. And the Gemara says, Shadi Gira, he shot an arrow out of the city, and on the arrow was a proclamation saying to Sancheret, Sancheret, we're ready to give the city surrenders to you, or the city welcomes the great king of Assyria. So Chizkiyahu became worried because, according to the Gemara, the majority was on the side of Shevna. So God appears to him through Yeshayahu and tells him, Lo tomrun kesher, don't be part of that conspiracy. They may be the majority, they may be talking about peace. They may be talking about giving over Yerushalayim, giving it away, half of it away, a quarter of it away. Be not concerned about it, because this man Shevna is going to be destroyed. The end was that Sancheret says, okay, Shevna, come out with your people and we're going to take over the city. And as he begins to go out towards Sancheret, all of those who've been backing him before, come on, Shevna, let's go. We're a peace camp. Shalom Akshav. We're going to make peace in our time. We're going to give up the city. Shevna ends up standing in the presence of Sancheret alone. And Sancheret gets very angry with him. And the Gemara says they run him through with 300 or more spears. The three Tosfos here are disturbed by one thing. You're going to have to save this till next week. Is this the same Shevna? We have a Shevna here in our parak. There's a Shevna back there in chapter 22, I believe. The Shevna in 22 is a Hashem Elisha. Here, nothing is going to be said about him. He comes with his garments torn to Chizkiyahu just like anybody else. There's another problem that comes up. The other problem that comes up is the Gemara quotes from a much later generation, I don't know, 1,500 years later, Shevna is Yerushalayim. There was a fellow, Shevna is Yerushalayim. Okay, yes. Shevna is Yerushalayim. In the Gemara in Ksubas, the Gemara says that there were two great judges in this city. One was Hanan, and the other was Avshalom. So the Gemara, Tosis, is troubled with the following problem. can there be, 1,000 years later, one of the rabbis of the Talmud called Shevna Ish Yerushalayim? Shevna was a Rasha. V'lo maskin b'shmayim. You don't give the names of Rishoyim to children. There are, thank God, not yet Jewish children called Esav. You know, by a bris, I'm always frightened sometimes by a bris, as the Kodesh might be Yisrael, Esav. Esav, Reis Ben Yishmael. Huh? Well, Yishmael we have, we'll talk about that. Debbie Yishmael. That's the one I'm talking about. We do have Nimrods and Nimrodis, you understand, unbelievable. How anybody can give, I, you know, there are times that I simply have absolutely no mercy, pity, and compassion on open Nimrodi. Whatever happens to a Nimrodi, you understand, has to happen to a Nimrodi. The Gemara is concerned about, the Tosis are concerned about two things. Was there a man called Shevna Ish Yerushalayim? Was there a man, a judge in Yerushalayim called Avshalom? That to me, I remember this as a child. This is an admission. I don't think my wife ever heard of this. There was some character around Williamsburg that used to call me Avshalom. And every time he called me Avshalom, I'd be ready to dig a hole. And he said he was at my bris, you know, all these guys that say they were at the bris, and that's the name I was given. My name is Avram Shalom. I mean, it took me about 30 years later till I figured out the guy was probably this hard of hearing. And Avram Shalom sounded to him like Avshalom. Because the Gemara says, there cannot be a judge in Yerushalayim called Avshalom, and there cannot be a rabbi in Harnav called Avshalom. And therefore, Tosis says that his name was Avishalom. Different name, Avishalom. The Shevna Ish Yerushalayim, there's going to be an opinion that says his name was not Shevna, but Shachna. You know the difference between a Chaf and a Beis? A mistake. So we're going to have to see, how do we deal with Shevna? The question really is going to boil down to, are there two Shevnas? And that's possible. Many of the great names in Tanakh is more than one. Are there two Shevnas? Yes, Kim?
Two Shevnas, and then be no problem naming Shevna.
If there would be two Shevnas, then there would be, that's very interesting, then there would be no problem calling, because Tosis is going to say, what happens if there's going to be a big Rasha called Avram? So you can't give somebody the name Avram because of that? Of course not. All right, we'll see the Tosis in Yesh next week, so we did a chapter. Your Homer for next week is the next chapter. Okay.